shares,
market,
the S&P,
the ASX stocks.
This is Motley Fool Money.
Welcome to Motley Fool Money, the podcast that likes to keep it simple with stuff that we can count on one hand. Scott, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Andrew. Good to be with you.
Today on the podcast, we're dedicating our entire episode to helping you invest better. We've got your five-step guide to getting started or restarted in shares.
Excellent. Bring it on.
So, Scott, hit me with the first point here. Where do we start?
Andrew, the first point in our five-step guide, we had to have five steps because we've only got one hand. The other hand's holding a beer. So in our five-step guide, the first thing we want you to do, fools, is read and then read and then read some more.
Can I just watch the movie?
You can.
Simply,
I'm not sure it'll help. Which movie?
Wolf of Wall Street, maybe, or Wall Street itself, or Boiler Room.
Honestly, fools, if you haven't seen it, go and do yourself over and watch Wall Street. Watch Gordon Gekko. Yeah. Watch Michael Douglas. Watch Tom Cruise. You won't be sorry. It's
sadly, entirely unlike the reality of our lives.
Totally.
We're not tossing dwarves and driving Ferraris, but you know.
That's the Wolf of Wall Street.
That's the Wolf of Wall Street.
It's Michael Douglas holding this massive, great brick of a mobile phone, which at that point was like the best thing
super
ever.
Cool.
In his suspenders. Yeah. This thing is just Wall Street personified, at least back in the day.
Yep.
The irony of it was that Oliver Stone wrote it as a bit of a warning about Wall Street, particularly in the shadow of the 87 crash, and we learned nothing, and the Wolf of Wall Street was the result.
And it also is not going to make you invest better, right?
Don't watch the movie.
No.
Look, Phil's...
you have to read.
What we do want you to do, though, is we want you to read, and not just... Look, there's a whole lot of things you can do, and the more you want to read, the better, quite frankly. If you're just Google a letter to a new investor. If you do that, you should find an article I wrote many years ago on the Motley Fool website, which will give you some books to read in particular that might help you. But here's a couple of categories. The first is pick up the business section of your local paper. If you want to read the AFR, even do that. But if you're not really that hardcore, grab your Herald, grab your Age, grab your Herald Sun, your Daily Telegraph, and check out the business section. Understand what's making companies tick, what's going on in the business world. Get a feel for what's going on. But don't just read finance stuff, read business stuff. Take an interest in the businesses themselves. Mm. What's happening at Big W? What's happening at Amazon? What's driving BHP at the moment? Have an understanding of those things. They will help you become a better investor because investing is about understanding business. Warren Buffett said, I'm a better businessman because I'm an investor, and I'm a better investor because I'm a businessman. And if you get that in your head, understand business. Don't just try and work out bloody algebra and Greek symbols and you know, whatever calculus you want to do, despite Andrew's threat last podcast, we won't do calculus today. It's all about the business itself. If you understand the business, if you understand what you're investing in, you're much, much more likely, frankly, than those people who just are spreadsheet jockeys to invest really, really well.
Yeah, a lot of, when I talk to mates about this kind of thing, they feel as though you need to have like a degree in economics or you need to have gone to business school or something like that. And obviously, that's going to help you, right?
Yep.
But it is amazing the amount of really high quality wisdom that's out there. You can just go onto Amazon and download a book to your Kindle, you know, for $20, and it will have some of the best insights that you've ever read from some of the world's greatest investors, you know.
The Essays of Warren Buffett, if you've got a Kindle, if you want to buy yourself a book, download that, read it. Super readable. The guy's an absolute genius. He's a billionaire many times over. That would be my first place. If you want to read stuff, it's interesting, it's funny, it's insightful, it'll help you learn a heap more about investing and about business.
Yeah, so educate yourself.
Indeed.
Real money advice from real people. Not just a couple of dicks with a Porsche. Get more at fool.com.au/MMM.
Point number two. Well, unfortunately, you got to deal with a broker.
Why unfortunately?
Well, you know, look, these guys have got...
You're getting jaundiced, Andrew.
I am. Well, you know, I used to work for a stockbroker.
Back in the day.
They are the gatekeepers. And if you want to buy and sell shares, you've got to go through a broker. Mm-hmm. Look, a lot of them are really, really good guys, of course, and girls. But the trouble is that there is a bit of a misalignment of incentives to go off topic for a little bit.
Surely not. They want us to make money, don't they?
Well, they make money when you trade. So they're going to encourage you to buy and sell as often as you can because they make more money. The broker buys a bunch of shares and puts them in the bottom drawer for 10 years isn't the best friend of a stockbroker.
But that's good investing.
Yeah, it is good investing. So what we're going to say is, look, you have to have a broker.
You do.
But you don't need to spend a fortune on it. You don't need the full service, you know, broker who's going to try and give you all these strategies and that. Just an execution only online broker.
What's execution only mean?
It just means they just tell us what to do and we'll do it. You want to buy 1,000 BHP? Boom, we'll do it. You want to sell, you know, 100 API? Bang, we'll do that. And that's all you need. And you're going to pay, and increasingly the brokerage commissions are getting lower and lower and lower and lower. So, you know, we don't have any commercial arrangements, so we're not going to favor anyone, but some of the better known ones are going to be things like NabTrade, CMC, E-Trade, ComSec. Go online, do a little bit of a search and sign up. You'll have to fill out a few forms. then you're on your way.
Yeah, right. This is really important, fools. You know what? Choosing a broker, I can remember when I chose my first broker back in the day, Andrew, they're no longer a business. They were bought by CommSec, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels a bit daunting, right? Because you're kind of signing up. It's a bit like opening a new online bank account.
Yeah.
You kind of don't really know exactly how it works, and there's some terminology and some language, and it's all a bit hard.
Do you want to be chest sponsored? Do you want to issue sponsor? You put like market orders, limit orders, stop loss orders.
We're trying to encourage people.
Sorry,
mate. But that's the sort of stuff you'll come across. You're exactly right. And so it's really, really important. Don't be daunted. Just, you don't have to trade. Just sign up for the account first. Get comfortable with the broker's platform. If you sign up with a good broker, frankly, I'm with CommSec. We get no money from doing this, but I would say for most people out there, start there. The trades aren't the cheapest in the world, but they're cheap. And look, there's really, really good customer service. Anytime I've had a query, I've had great customer service. There's some great tutorials on that website about how to place your trades, about how to understand what's going on. Again, like the first point, just read. Make sure you understand what's going on, how to do it all. But don't be daunted. Just, you know, get started. Make a start. Once you start, but then we've done two or three trades. It's like it's old hat, right? You can't believe you couldn't possibly. It felt daunting at first, but I know that it does. And so when you open the CommSec account, you look at that and go, oh, God, it's all too hard. I get it. Just help me out here. Take the bit between the teeth. Just grit those teeth and push through. It'll be well and truly worth it. Choose a broker.
Okay. And really, when it's on an online execution broker, as long as it's one of sort of the bigger, better known ones, it really just does come down to who's the cheapest. I think a lot of the time.
I would add customer service to that.
That's fair.
I wouldn't take just the cheapest. I would take the one that had the best customer service and the most easy to use platform. Mm-hmm. The very cheapest I've seen is an American company who I won't name, only because I don't want to encourage people to go and check them out. The interface is absolutely terribly woeful. It is an awful, awful interface. It's cheap, but you have to really know what you're doing. I've used it.
See, I'm cheap. I've used it
for work, and I still don't. Every time I place a trade, I still worry that I'm not getting it quite right because it's just super, super non-intuitive. Versus our CommSec, and again, I have no affiliation with them. We have no affiliation at the Motley Fool with the CommSec. Doing that, I worry that it doesn't necessarily help you. By trying to save some money, you might be penny wise and pound foolish. You end up making mistakes, or you don't know what you're doing. So, get a cheap price, but the cheapest mightn't be the best deal. If you're only going to trade a few times a year, you might save $5 or $10 over the course of a year.
Yep.
If I would pay $10 to have a much, much better service, more customer friendly. So, my version would be go cheap, not so cheapest. Get a combination of cheap and customer service and some website usability.
Value stocks.
Market.
Stock market.
Index.
Share market.
This is Motley Fool Money. Subscribe to the free newsletter at fool.com.au/MMM.
So you've done a bit of reading.
Yep.
You've opened up your brokerage
Here
account.
Here we go.
You're ready to trade.
Hit the big green buy button.
Yes. And
there isn't a big green buy button.
But before you do that, you know, you need to obviously decide what you're going to buy. There's almost 2,000 different companies listed on the ASX. Which one are you going to buy? Now, this is the big one.
It is.
So where do you start here? I need to decide on something. What do I do?
Hopefully your reading has helped. Because if you've done your reading, you've got some sense from people like Warren Buffett or Peter Lynch or Philip Fisher. If you don't know those names, Google them, buy their books.
Marks.
They're spectacularly good.
Yep.
You'll get a really good sense of the sorts of things that make for good investments. Now, there's no, if this was easy, if this was obvious, then everyone would be doing it, right? So it's not dead easy. Frankly, let me put a little plug in here for our services. At The Motley Fool, we sell very cheap subscriptions to Motley Fool Dividend Investor that Andrew runs or Motley Fool Share Advisor that I run that help you do that. A couple hundred bucks a year for mine, $100 a year for Andrew's. Go and have a look, see if it's right for you, decide for yourself or someone else. If you find someone else who gives you that great advice, who has a market-beating track record, who's transparent and clear, who doesn't hide behind their past performance, by all means, go and sign up with them instead. But
nice,
if you need
nice
some help,
plug, mate. Nice plug. I like it.
You know what? I kind of figure, absolutely, it's a plug. Yeah. By the way, you and I both work here because we liked the business and we actually joined the business that we liked rather than vice versa. So I've been a fan of The Motley Fool for 20 years. It just so happened that 6 years or so ago, I decided to quit my job and join The Motley Fool because I loved it so much. It's a plug. So take that with a grain of salt, fools. But either way, read, understand what makes good companies and bad companies. Find someone you trust if you need some extra advice. Narrow down that list of companies to your point, Andrew. Find a way to sort of drill in on the really, really important ones. And there's a couple of ideas that we've got. Start us off.
Well, I was just going to add one thing quickly here, and this is particularly true if it's my service at The Motley Fool, is that what I think you want to do is when you're ready to invest in the market, there is going to be someone on every single street corner screaming through a megaphone as to what's going to happen and what you should buy. Now, a lot of them will be...
The apocryphal cabbie.
Mate, some of it will be really great advice. A lot of it will be rubbish. Mm. And so what I'm really saying
opinions
here is...
Opinions are like backsides?
Yeah, everyone's got one, right?
Exactly, yes.
And so, and this goes especially for us.
Mm-hmm.
When you're reading advice and recommendations, approach it with a healthy skepticism.
Absolutely.
Question everything, you know. So we've got forums associated with ours, so people can get on there and, you know, our members aren't backwards in coming forward. They don't like one of our recommendations. They'll let you know.
Yeah.
And we love it. It's wonderful because it helps inform you. So I think one of the things that you need to be careful of, whether it's us or anyone else, is that when you get, don't just knee-jerk follow everything without thinking about it. It's your money. No one's going to care about it more than you, and no one's going to understand your goals and your personal situation as well as you. So absolutely use this to help inform your decision. We've both got scorecards that are beating the market. We're very proud of that. We think that we'll do very well for our members, but don't just follow anything blindly. Think for yourself. Have a healthy degree of skepticism. And you know what? If you don't like something, there'll always be something else around the corner.
Wise words. Help us narrow down the list though, Andrew. What sort of businesses should we be looking for or should we be avoiding?
Well, there's a million different strategies out there for the share market, and they range from very high risk, super involved, to very passive, low risk.
Nice.
And look, again, we've obviously got our preferences, but I don't want to get too ideological here. I think you really want to start with the basic kind of stuff. And the first thing I would say to anyone is forget about the bloody shares themselves, which is going to sound a bit counterintuitive here. You mentioned it before.
Yep.
You are buying a tiny bit of a business. So imagine that you've got a couple billion dollars and you are the kind of guy that goes around buys, you know, $100 million businesses.
We're not all you, Andrew.
Yeah, thank God for that. And I guess remember that's what it is. You're not buying something because you think that someone's going to pay you a higher price for it next week, next month, or even next year.
Right.
You're buying it because you actually want to own this business. There's an inherent value in just being an owner, whether that be through the dividends, whether that being through the amount of money that they can retain and compound themselves. You know, it's that value creation that you want to expose yourself to.
You want to buy a business that you could possibly have to own for 10 years.
That's yeah, Buffett talks about, you know, I if the market closed for 10 years, I want to be holding companies that I'm not going to be freaking out about.
So you're not worrying about what price people might pay you within a month or 2 months or 6 months. You're buying businesses that are getting better and better over time that are likely to generate higher and higher profits in the
future.
It's
a great place to start. And the other thing you want to do too here is, no matter how confident you are, no matter how smart you are, no matter how much reading you have done, no matter the level of your conviction, for the love of God, don't put all your money into one investment.
Please.
Because you know, one of the things that I think is very hard for new investors is the reality that you are going to make mistakes.
Yep.
Plenty, not just one or two, plenty of your investments are going to go sour on you. And mm-hmm. it's just the nature. We're in a probability type based business. So we will do very well over the long term on average, even though we probably only, you know, 6 out of 10 is about as good as we're going to get in terms of our strike rate. That's investing. Don't be put off by that. So it's a great tragedy. People will come into the market. They'll put a whole bunch into one stock. It'll go down, you know, maybe 15% over the next 6 months, and they walk away battered and bruised and thinking this is a mug's game.
Yep.
And they do themselves a great disservice. So spread your money around. Buy businesses with a very clear intent. When it's not working out your way, not because the price hasn't, you know, gone up straight away, because the business just isn't what you thought it was.
Right.
You know, learn from that, walk away and put the money somewhere else. That's just investing. So I guess that's what I'd also say.
Nice. Look, Fools, if you're looking for particular opportunities for investing, I would say, firstly, avoid miners. Miners are kind of the great Australian punt. Stay away from them. They're likely to cost you money over time and over the cycle. I'd say look for companies with strong brands that might be consumer brands, like, say, Coca-Cola Amatil or Woolworths, a Flight Center, for example, someone like that. But also business-to-business brands. There are companies that have brands because they sell things to businesses. So if you have a strong brand, you're likely to be able to charge higher prices. You're likely to be able to fight off the competition. Al's grocery store down the street isn't the same as Woolworths or Aldi or Coles. Those brands do make you go to the store. When you think about where do I get to go grocery shopping, you're probably going to think of one of the big brands. So go for brands, avoid the miners, and find businesses that are performing well and you think are likely to grow into the future.
Now, if you want to be lazy, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with being lazy when it comes to investing, some of the best investors are very passive, lazy investors. And a really great sort of foundational investment to make is in a thing called an ETF, an exchange-traded fund.
Not a WTF?
Not a WTF.
An ETF.
Okay. An ETF. And what it is it really it's just a collection of shares. It's all bundled up and you get to buy basically access to a portfolio.
Yep.
And these aren't actively managed portfolios. These are just portfolios that track the index, like the All Ordinaries or the ASX 200. And there's a lot of really good evidence out there that would suggest that these these will tend to do very well for you over time, and you will probably beat the majority of professionally managed funds.
Indeed. A couple of think of fools, if you're looking for an ETF, Vanguard has an Australian ETF, the code is VAS, and has an international ETF, which is VGS. Those two, the Australian one will give you access to the ASX 200 with one single trade, and VGS is an international one, which will give you exposure to 1,500 companies across the developed world outside Australia. So two simple trades, you can have access to pretty much the entire developed world and some of the best companies therein. So our big banks, our big miners, Amazon, GE, yep. Nike, Google, Facebook, Netflix, the list goes on. Yep. So a couple of trades there. They're not necessarily direct recommendations, though. We think you do a whole lot worse than buying and holding those for a very,
very long
time.
Well, the thing
is
that we can guarantee. Now, a mate of mine used to say, if you want a guarantee, buy a toaster, because this is not the game where we give guarantees. We can't. But I'm going to give you a guarantee here. And the great thing the thing is that you can guarantee with an ETF is that you will get pretty much the market average. And again, history would suggest that the market average is very, very decent over time, about 10% over the long term in Australia. And that is just, again, with the power of compounding, that is going to put you on a great footing.
11.6% a year over 30 years. So I think it was 2015.
Okay.
Turned 10 grand into $280,000. So if you don't think 10% is much or 11% is much,
it's huge.
You can get, that was a 28x return.
Yep.
Over 30 years.
And the other thing we have to stress with that as well, that wasn't reading one single annual report. It wasn't going to any annual general meetings. You didn't have to look at a single balance sheet. You didn't have to do anything.
If you just reinvested the dividends and walked away, you had that
bought
money.
Bought the ETF and walked away.
Yep.
And that's what you have done.
It's literally as if you put 10 grand in at 984, 95, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And someone tapped you on the shoulder 30 years later and said, here's your $250,000 plus.
Yep.
And you think, well, how'd that happen? I didn't do anything. That's exactly the point.
Yeah, isn't it magic? In fact, we talk a bit about Buffett. Buffett, that's his advice to most investors. Isn't it? Buy an ETF, unless you're really passionate about this stuff.
Motley Fool Money. For more, go to fool.com.au/MMM.
So that's points one, two, and three. Point number four. Make your first trade.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about that already. This is about going to your broker side and actually getting it done. Mm. So it's kind of a bit of a repeat of an earlier point, but this is really important. Once you've decided what you want to buy, just go and do it. The old, you know, proverbial journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. This is the first step for your investing journey. If you haven't done it before, just go and make the trade. Go and buy some shares. Put $500, $1,000, $2,000, whatever it is, into that first investment, getting started, funding that account, making the trade. Once you've done it, you'd be amazed how quickly you start to feel like a business owner. You start to feel like this thing is working for you, that it's actually starting to deliver results for you. So just, you know, the point here is almost just do it, the old Nike slogan.
What I'll add to it though is, and again, it's hard not to do this, but you know, obviously when you're deciding what to buy, mm-hmm. you also need to decide whether or not the price that Mr. Market is offering you is a reasonable one.
Yep.
The trouble is you say, yes, I want to buy company X, and yes, I think the price is about right.
Mm-hmm.
You go on there and you'll see that there's a whole bunch of buyers lined up. There's a whole bunch of sellers offering their shares. There'll be a spread, as they call it. And the lowest offer might be $1.41. And you think, well, I don't want to pay $1.31. I want to put an order in at $1.38. Cheaper is better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the market might, you know, as it does, it's volatile. It might move to $1.46 the next day. Maybe I'll move my order up a little bit more and it comes down. And you start tinkering at the edges here, and it is ludicrous. Now, if you're a day trader, okay, that's important.
No, it's not. If you're a day trader, you're an idiot.
You are an idiot
because
you're going to lose a bunch of money.
Correct.
At least that's 99.999% of the time.
But
my point is, you are never, no matter who you are ever going to really accurately exactly work out what you need to pay for a share. If there is a good business that's available at $1.40 a share, frankly, whether you pay $1.30, $1.50, you know, 5 years later, it ain't going to make a difference. If this thing is halved, you're not going to care that you paid $1.30 instead of $1.40. If it's doubled, the same goes. So once you've made that decision, don't stuff yourself around the edges here. Just go in, buy it, and then move on.
Yeah, that's really important. I think particularly, take Domino's. We talked about Domino's in a previous podcast.
Right, right.
It's gone from $6 to over $60. That's a tenfold return.
Yeah.
If you'd have said at $6, I'll buy it at $5.80 or $5.90 or $5.95,
right,
and you missed buying it at $6, you cost yourself a 10x return. Like the money you could have saved by saving a couple of cents if the price had fallen versus the amount you've missed out because you haven't bought it and the shares have gone through the roof. Now, Domino's is an extreme example, but Phil's, don't major in the miners. Find the right company, pay a decent around a decent price. You're never going to get the right price. You're never going to pick the bottom. You're never going to pick the top. Stop trying. If the price is decent, buy the shares and move on.
And the other thing to mention too, you talk about, you go back in history and you look at the very, very, very best investments. And even the very, very, well, not the very best, but you know, very decent investments over time. you will almost 50% of the time see those shares fall after you buy them.
Right.
Just because shares are volatile.
Or averages,
yeah. Best, you could have bought Domino's at $6 all those years ago, and it could have been at $5.80 a week later.
Yep.
And you're going to feel terrible. You're going to notice it. You're going to see a big splash of red on your computer screen, and it's going to be scary. But I'm here to tell you that it's a guarantee. It is a guarantee that that's going to happen close to half of the time.
Yep.
But remember, are you here to speculate on market price, or are you here because you want to buy part of a company? If you've chosen your company well and you've paid a roughly sensible price, that is not going to matter in the fullness of time.
Back in the day, Warren Buffett was buying shares of Walmart.
Yep.
And he wanted it, I think, about a couple of cents cheaper than the current market price was, and it never got to that price. He never bought the shares. That cost Berkshire Hathaway $8 billion, that's with a B, dollars. Because Buffett didn't pull the trigger because he wanted a slightly cheaper price.
Yeah. It's just tinkering. Don't bother doing it.
Don't do it.
Get more Motley Fool money advice at fool.com.au/MMM.
So the last point is really a summation of all of the points.
Rinse it's and repeat.
Wash, rinse and repeat. Do it again and again. And this really touches on the idea that, you know, this is something, investing is more of a process rather than a single set of actions that you do once.
Yep.
You know, it is about something and then doing it again and again and again, partly because you're going to make mistakes along the way. Mm-hmm. It's like if I gave you a loaded coin, right? And I said, this thing flips heads 70% of the time. Now, let's say we started betting on that and it's landed tails twice in a row. And you're starting to think, geez, I'm losing money. Obviously, if you've got half a brain in your head, you will play that game all day long, betting on heads every time.
Yep.
You're not going to win every time. In fact, by definition, 30% of the time you're going to lose, but 70% of the time you're going to win. And it's that probabilistic mindset that I think you need to take to investing.
Yes.
You know, it's not a game of strike rates. It's not about things going not only well, but well straight away.
Mm-hmm.
It's about doing sensible things and then doing them again and again and again and again. And over time, that process will out and the value will be revealed.
One of my favorite lines, I think I've probably partly stolen it and partly changed it and invented it myself. So take it for what it's worth and credit someone who came up with it. I reckon investing is the art of waiting patiently.
So is.
And it's about letting the businesses do their thing. We talked about the 28-fold return of 10 grand to $280,000 over 30 years.
Yep.
Just by literally doing nothing, buying the shares and waiting. And if you kept buying more shares during that period of time, by the way, you'd have even more. That was one trade once.
Yeah.
That wasn't money every year, every month. If you did it every year, every month, you'd have a whole lot more. You'd have millions and millions of dollars from probably $40,000, $50,000 as a starting point. So, you know, if you're able to do that, so market will be volatile. Diversify your portfolio. Buy shares regularly, not too regularly. Don't trade. Try not to sell unless you absolutely have to because the company sucks or because the price has gone up so much you simply, you know, it's simply overvalued. Otherwise, just keep the shares. Buy semi-regularly and wait. Be patient. Don't follow the screens every day. Don't open your brokerage account 15 times a day. Just buy the shares, put them in the proverbial bottom drawer, and go and play golf. Go fishing, go shopping, go to the movies, do something, go to work, do something else. Don't keep watching the shares and don't treat it like a horse race.
Mm.
What you need to know is at the end of the process, if you buy well, you will be very, very richly rewarded. The biggest risk to your investment future is probably you, quite frankly.
Yeah. Again, it's something that all the greats talk about. So, you know, you don't have to be a genius to be a good investor. You obviously need to be prepared to put the effort in, and you know, you can't be someone who doesn't know how to button up your pants. Obviously, you need to know how to tie your shoelaces. But assuming you've got any kind of reasonable level of intelligence and prepared to put some effort in, you've got every capacity to do well as an investor. What really separates the men from the boys is temperament.
Yep.
And the person who has an IQ of 80 but has an incredible temperament will outperform the person with the IQ of 200 but is going to bolt every time there's a slight wobble in the markets.
In fact, the smart person is likely actually to be a disadvantage because they think they're smarter than everybody else and they're going to try and prove that smartness by trading this, trading that, trying to find an edge, trying to, you know, the smarter you are, the frankly, the more arrogant you probably
more
are,
overconfident,
the more overconfident you are, the greater the chance you think you can influence the markets. The person who's of average intelligence and simply says temperamentally, I know the markets go up more than they go down. I know it goes up over time, over the very long term, by about 10% a year. I know that if I reinvest my dividends, they're tax advantaged and they compound. And if I just let that do its thing, I will have a decent amount of money. There's a plethora of stories about, you know, US janitors and you know, working people who just simply put a little bit of money aside every week, every month, every year, and amassed massive fortunes by simply buying well and not selling.
Yeah, it's the one thing that you got to do. And I think one of the better ways to do this is to sort of think about it in advance. So if you're going to be investing for the long term, it's basically a guarantee over your investing career. You'll probably see that at least the nominal value of your portfolio halve at some point. literally halve. So think about, you know, you've got $5,000 to invest. How are you going to feel if you wake up tomorrow and that's $2,500? Because there's a very real chance that that will happen at some point.
Totally.
Now, again, we know that, that these things tend to bounce back and, you know, over time, what, about 10% or so.
Yep.
But really, really visualize that and really own that feeling, because I guarantee you're going to feel it. And the reason we mention it is because we see people attracted to the market for exactly the wrong reason. It's usually after a very sustained period of things going up. They go, oh, I'm missing out. I want to get in. They buy something. There's a little bit of a wobble and they sell out. So they end up buying high and selling low.
Yeah.
And you know, it's that temperament that shakes them out. And so you've got to work on that.
I'll give you an example really quickly, Andrew, as we finish off. I have a member of my service, Motley Fool Share Advisor, who is complaining because the last recommendation we made is down about 17% as we speak. And that's pretty sucky, and that kind of feels bad for me, and it kind of feels bad for that member. But that member's now saying, I want to cancel. You're giving me terrible advice. This is ridiculous. This whole share advising like is terrible.
It's understandable.
It is. Yeah. But the problem is, over 5 years, Share Advisor is up 50-something percent.
Mm.
The market's up about 20% on average per pick. Mm. We are absolutely streeting the market thus far, and we're not celebrating victory just yet. This is a long-term game. But when you look at that versus the one stock that person bought last month,
yeah,
and saying, therefore, as a result, this thing's not worth it. That's exactly the temperament issue you're talking about. Yeah, they've come in with the wrong expectations. We probably should have done a better job of setting those expectations for what it's worth, and we'll try harder.
Mm.
But that's the real issue, is that person wasn't ready to say, I'm in this for the long term. I'm buying a diversified portfolio of shares over time that I think will beat the market. They've said one stock, one trade, 1 month. That's it, I'm out.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, absolute insanity. Right, well, we better wrap it up there, Scott.
We should.
As always, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Andrew.
And remember, you can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes or the favorite Android podcast app. And of course, you can go straight to the website and listen to it from there, MMM.com.au/podcast. Please give us a 5-star rating as well. We'd really appreciate it. But until next time, Scott Phillips, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, fools.
And fool on.
Fool on.
The Motley Fool and people appearing in this program may have positions in the companies mentioned. General advice only. Please speak to your financial professional to understand how it may pertain to your situation. Subscribe to the free newsletter at fool.com.au/MMM. The Motley Fool operates under Financial Services License 400691.